If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5. We're going chapter by chapter in the book of John. Each chapter has a portrait of Jesus that we need to understand and know. I want you to know how special this is. I want to welcome those who are watching online as well. And Gary Sorber just spoke to you yesterday, all the way in Pennsylvania. I feel like we should have another church in Pennsylvania because I feel like we have a little community up there that watches with us every Sunday. All those who are watching at home, locally here, all the people that went on CIY and staying at home to rest today because they got in last night late. But Eric, you, my friend, is, if I was young and hip like I used to be, I would say, you're a soldier or something like that. They used to say something like, getting up early, you're a soldier. John chapter 5. I just want you to know how special this is, what I'm about to read. This is the Word of God. Amen? I don't like some of the things that it says in there, but I'm growing because it is the Word of God. For the first 400 years of Christianity, this thing didn't exist. They only had the Old Testament because they needed to find Jesus in the Old Testament. All they had were some letters circulating because of the apostles and people writing down what they heard and saw and begin to pass it around to the church leaders. But anytime a letter got into their hand, they were executed. They were killed. Every time pen touches paper, people were killed over this thing. But those who were very faithful and through the grace of God and how God does what he does, preserve these letters for us, and after Constantine declared that religion was a freedom to all people in the Roman Empire, and he made Christianity as the main religion. So all these letters begin to come out, and they start putting them together, and that's how you get the Bible. So it wasn't written by some guy in a cave somewhere, and say, this is the Word of God. It consists of 66 books. It's a collection of letters written by all people from all walks of life so we can have this. So every Sunday as I read this, I want you to know how special this is, that we even get to do this. So John chapter 5, beginning verse 1. Sometime later, it's on the screen as well, you're following along. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, one who was there had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in his condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the waters stir, while I'm trying to get in. Someone else go ahead of me, go down before me. And Jesus said to him, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you from carrying your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went away, told the Jewish leader that it was Jesus who made him well. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders begin to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work. To this very day, I too am working.
For this reason, they tried to all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, was he was calling God as equal with him. The question was this, do you want to be healed? That's an awkward question. Let's be honest here. That's an awkward question by Jesus. Of course, he wanted to be healed. Of course, you're Jesus. And if you have some kind of chronic disease or something that's happened in your body that you've been struggling for a long time, and someone comes up to you and said, do you want to be healed? What would you say? Oh, heck yes. I have early stages of arthritis in both of my ankles because I abused it playing basketball growing up. Every single day, I played through hurt, I played through pain, I played through sprained ankles. I think I broke it one time and had no idea it was broken because my house was too poor to go get it checked out by the doctors. So I have early stages of arthritis. So I have this agonizing, irritating, uncomfortable feelings in my feet all the time. And it's very uncomfortable at night when I'm sleeping. I have to get up and stretch and do all kinds of stuff. So if someone comes up to me today without telling me to take any kind of pills or any surgery and say, do new you want to get well? What do you think my answer would say? Heck yes. Heck yes. But at the same time, this question is awkward because it's Jesus. He's God. He knew everything about this guy. He knew his past, he knew his present, he knew his future. He knew the guy was been sitting there for 38 years begging to get into the pool somehow. He knew the good, the bad, the ugly. Yet Jesus healed him. Anyways, here's the ironic part. The guy didn't even know who Jesus was. That throws like our theology out of the window that you got to have faith to be healed, right? Passages like this in the scripture makes you wonder. But it also tells us one thing, that God can do whatever he wants, to whenever he wants, however he wants, to anyone he wants. The guy didn't know who Jesus was. He had no faith. And he even threw Jesus under the bus after the Pharisees or the Jewish leader says, who healed you? And he said, that guy, Jesus, he's the one that told me to pick up my mat and walk. This event in the scripture, John chapter 5, illustrates the condition of humanity and the heart of God. This event in John chapter 5 illustrates the deep-rooted condition of humanity and the heart of God. You notice the writers in the Bible doesn't really give names to these people. He only says like the invalid, or the woman at the well, or the woman who had a dead child, or the leopards, or the guy who was possessed. They never gave names to any of these people. Because this book, it's not about us. This book we call the Bible, it's about God. It's about what God can do in your life and in my life. It reveals us humanity's rebellion against God, against towards God, and his redemptive plan for all of us. That's what this book is about. It's not about us. This book is about God. So here we go. In Jerusalem, there was a man sitting at the pool called Bethesda. Jesus came by. One who has been there had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. He asked him, do you want to get well? By the way, something you should understand, that Jesus wasn't traveling around healing everybody or feeding everybody. He wasn't going around having a circuit of, come look at me, look what I can do, I'm performing another miracle. It wasn't that. We're only reading snippets of the life of Jesus because that's all the time that was allowed or enough pen and paper to write these things down. So John felt what was most important to keep track of what Jesus did and said. But do you know notice anything weird about this passage of Scripture? I promise you that I will teach the Bible as a whole, like entirety, right? Do you notice anything weird? Anybody picked anything out? Yeah. You want to get wild? What else? What else is weird about this passage of Scripture? Look what it says. Verse 3. There is a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And what does it say next? Verse 5. Where did verse 4 go? Look at your Bible. Why did it go from verse 3 to verse 5? Where did verse 4 go? See, Pastor New, the Bible has flaws and it was written by man. You can't believe this thing. It was meant to control us and it's a mistake. And how can you believe this is the Word of God? When where did verse 5 go? What's 4 go? This is what John chapter 5 verse 4 said. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. This verse was supposed to be in there, but it wasn't in there. Why? You're going to appreciate this. There's a rumor. In the pool of Bethesda, it's roughly 2.5 football fields wide. It was sitting on a spring. So when the time rain comes, it's heavy. The stream would flow into the bottom of the pool of the spring, and then the water would come up, and it carries all kinds of natural healings of their skin. So when it's heavy rain a couple times a year, the water would stir up, and then people in Jerusalem were trying to get in there, and whoever gets in there first believed to be healed. These were rumors. These were things that was going around. So when the writer got this, when to textual criticism, you need to know this as a church-going people. I know this is not the part you want to hear, and you start to yawn, and you start to look around. Pay attention to me. You need to know this, okay? You are going to appreciate this, because through textual criticism, they couldn't decide if this was consistent with John's letter, or was it add-on as a commentary. So the Bible committee says, well, we're not sure if this is consistent with the original text, so why don't we add it in as a side note at the bottom? So people know it's there, but we're not unsure. You should appreciate that, because your Bible that you're holding is trying to be as accurate as possible from the original text. Amen? So what you have in your hand is authenticity at its finest. If it doesn't make sense, they kind of leave it out. But if it's consistent with whatever the early writers wrote, they kept it in. So you should appreciate what you have in your hand is authentic, it's real, it's consistent, and it's the Word of God. But here, it doesn't take away the meaning of the story at all whatsoever. But you need to know that just in case your friends challenges you that you can't believe this. You can say, it's textual criticism. Don't you appreciate that the Bible committee begin to look into verses that wasn't consistent with the early writers? Don't you want that? It doesn't take away the story of what happened. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Most of us would focus on the invalid man. Most of us would focus on pick up your mat and walk and some inspirational quote that comes out of this. And hey, you want to get well? Pick up your mat and walk. There's more to it. There are two groups of people in this story that needed to get well. One, the invalid. The other, were the Jewish leaders. The self-righteous. The hurting and the self-righteous both needed to get well. On the day that this took place, it was the Sabbath, so they were against people healing and people walking with their mat. So they said, why are you doing this on the Sabbath? Allah permits you from carrying your mat and walk on the Sabbath. What did the law say? Well, let me tell you, where in the law does it say, don't walk with your mat? Hang on. Oh, what happened? Where is it? Oh, it's not in there. There's nowhere in the Bible it says on the Sabbath, don't pick up your mat and walk. What does the law say? In Exodus chapter 20, God says, remember the Sabbath, keeping it holy. He's saying, make sure you reserve a day in your life that you take a rest and you remember who you are, where you came from, and what I have done in your life. That is the law. So the Jewish people would come up with all these ways of, okay, now how do we create this? So they create an extra 600 and something laws to guide people, to help people the best way they know how to keep the Sabbath. But it's never stated from the original text in the scripture from God to say, don't walk on the Sabbath. He says, just remember in your life to slow down, to stop, to reflect what I've done in your life. I think that's not, it's pretty reasonable ask of God, don't you think? How many guys wishes you can have a day where you just like relax and do nothing? Yeah. God wants that for your life. It's not that. It's pretty reasonable. But someone had a problem. They were so wrapped up in the laws, they pile on to their own backs. They have made up what they missed, that they missed completely the miracle that was happening. That a guy who's been invalid for 38 years, walking. Both the lowest and the highest in society equally need healing. This guy had no idea who Jesus was. He's been sitting by the pool for 38 years. And when Jesus asked him, if you wanted to be healed, his response was, no one here to help me. Guys, I know I beat you up pretty bad last week on Father's Day. He's been sitting around the pool for how long? 38 years. If I sit at a pool for 38 years and I move 1 centimeter every year, okay? And then when the water began to stir, if I really wanted to get well, you think, you know what I'll do? What do you think you'd do? Think about this for a second. The problem is not that he doesn't want to get, Jesus says, do you want to be healed? His answer was, I don't have anyone to help me. And I wish John had enough pen and paper to write down all the excuses this guy would have given to Jesus. No one helped me in. Everyone's stepping over me. I don't have enough resources. I can't get up. I can't get out. I don't have running water. I when things happen in my life and everyone else, I just can't get well. Jesus, no. I didn't ask the question if why aren't you well? Jesus says, do you want to get well? And at some point in your life, ladies and gentlemen, is not everyone else's fault. The question Jesus asks us is, do you want to get well? I love how Jesus cut to the chase. Get up. Pick up your mat. And walk. Stop with the nonsense. Stop with the excuses. He said, get up. Change your life. Don't look back. Do you want to get well? And here's the other group of people. The Jewish leaders were so wrapped up in protecting their laws and their position that they missed the miracle of a man walking after being paralyzed for 38 years. And they wanted to punish the man who had enough power to heal someone who's been invalid for 38 years. You know, to think about it, I don't blame the Jewish leader at all. I actually don't. They were protecting the sacred text, the Old Testament. They were protecting a religion that worships the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So I don't blame them at all. Remember, nothing makes sense until the resurrection. Keep that in mind. Before Jesus resurrected from the dead, none of this makes sense. And after Jesus resurrected from the dead, they're like, oh, now it makes sense to us why he did the things that he did. So the writers began to write all these things down. So I don't blame the religious leader at all. They were protecting the sacred text the best way they know how. But at the same time, you should be encouraged by this as Christians, as faith people, as people who might not know the faith, who are dabbling on Jesus, or like, do I really believe this? Is the Bible real? What should I do? This text tells us something. Jesus was no ordinary man. Amen? He wasn't. He was doing things that people were like, what? That simply doesn't make sense. But the Jewish leaders, what they needed was healing from their compassion for the lost. In the wake of protecting the sacred truth, what the religious leader needed was the healing of their self-righteousness. They had lost the compassion for the lost in the wake of protecting the sacred truth. This is a lesson for Christians and churches. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in our own righteousness and protecting the sacred truth, don't we? And we do the best way we know how. And I do too. And all this will make sense when Jesus returns. The same way none of it makes sense until Jesus resurrected from the dead. We're not whole yet. But for now, as a church, we have been carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ as God intended. We love the lowest to the highest of people in society. We are here to proclaim the good news to the poor and freedom to the prisoners of their own sins. We embrace those who struggle and those who hurt for the choices that they have made. Because every human life is sacred to God. We are here to help pick people up from their broken pieces. And sometimes we miss that mark. We're a big supporter of Women's First Care Clinic in West Palm. They don't just care about saving babies and leaving it at that. No, once a baby is saved, that's when the work begins with Women's First Care, not ends. They help equip mothers and families with the medical care, counseling supplies, and support they need. And we at Connect the Life Christian Church will continue to do so because we're here to help people pick up their broken pieces. Amen. The lesson for us is in verse 13 to the 15. The man who was healed had no idea who it was. For Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away, told the Jewish leader, and it was Jesus who had made him well. He didn't know who Jesus was, nor did he care. And he went back to the spot that he's been sitting for 38 years, and Jesus found him there and says, "What are you doing here?" Kind of like us sometimes, don't we? We keep going back to the same spot that hurts us. He came looking for a miracle. Maybe he came back to look for another miracle. Maybe he came back that he'll run into someone else instead of just healing his legs this time. Maybe this person will give him a job, will make him rich, will change his life completely. He's looking for a miracle. But the word of Jesus, the word of God, healed him instead. He hoped to be healed by the miraculous water, like everybody was going to the pool. Waiting 38 years, no answer. Instead, he was healed by the word of God. The religious leader thought they had it all figured out. But they failed to let the word of God lead their hearts. Instead, they worship rules that they come up with. Jesus is the true healer. And only his word can change a human heart. Jesus is the true healer, and only his words can change a human heart. In the early 90s, a phenomenon came across the world. It was new to me. It was new to everybody. It was incredible. The things that I witnessed was beyond me, and I still don't understand how it works. I'm so impressed by it all the time. At night, Liz and I are sitting there watching TV or on our phone or something. We're like, isn't that amazing that somehow they get a picture from somewhere and you get to watch it on your phone? Like they bounce the video somehow to the satellites and they bounce back into your house and it bounces into your phone that is not connected to anything. Aren't you impressed by that? That's incredible. Well, in the early 90s, this thing came out with the emails, right? Or, you know, emails, the internet. I remember going to my teacher's desk. And she said, New, come look at this. She was excited as well. New, come look at this. I said, what is it? She wrote an email. She said, watch this. I don't have to run down the hall to deliver this note anymore. All I have to do is hit send. Wow! Email. Now we have text messages. Wow. But at the same time, pornography began to be more accessible. Everyone can get it on the computer. Anyone can see it at any time. It's even worse now. Before I knew God, I thought it was completely okay. I even thought pornography was a healthy thing for a marriage or for people. I completely thought it was okay. I'm going to let you into a little secret between us, okay? Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody on these walls and the millions watching around the world. I wanted to study film because I wanted to make porn videos. Because it was a business booming during that time. I'm still an entrepreneur. I'm not a businessman. I'm still an entrepreneur, as my business mentor tells me I'm a terrible businessman. He sits in here. But I thought it was okay. Until God's word changed me. Until the word of God changed me. I used to think everyone's going to heaven because it was the nicer thing to say and to do. When you're an athlete, you come across everybody. Every walks of life. Until God's word changed me. I used to think Buddhism was the way to go. I grew up Buddhist. I used to think meditating underneath a tree until you grow a halo around your head was the thing to be and the thing to go. Until God's word changed me. Oh, I used to be angry. I used to have a short fuse and someone offended me, I snap, and you are out of my life. And they never find you again. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't go that far. But God's word changed me. I used to think abortion was okay. I was taught that it was just a mass tissue. It was just a medical procedure. Until God's word changed me. And then I wouldn't dare go up to a woman who had a miscarriage and say, oh, don't worry, it's just a tissue. What are you sent for? I wouldn't dare say that because God's word has changed me. You get the idea. If you want to be healed from the life you are living, the miracle, it's in the Word of God. Matthew Henry, one of my favorite commentators, he literally takes the Greek and translates it word for word so we can help us to understand the Scripture a little more. He says, we are by nature impotent folk in spiritual things. Blind, halt, and wither, but full provision is made for our cure. If we want, if we attend to it. Until the word of God change me. This guy sitting at a pool for 38 years hoping for a miracle, hoping something will happen. Someone will do something. Someone will change something. Someone will rewrite the law. Someone will provide a way out or whatever it may be. But it wasn't the miracle in the pool. The miracle was in the word of God that changed him. Jesus says, get up and walk. And same with the religious leaders. They needed healing. They focus so much on the law that they forget the compassion for those who are hurting. There's this event, John and Peter were walking, and one day they walk into the temple court, and there was a guy sitting there begging. And the guy says, please give me something, please give me something, and anything, give me a dollar, give me a cent, give me something, give me a coin. And they stare at this guy in the eyes, and they say, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter says, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Take him by the right hand, helped him up instantly. The man's feet, ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. The secret to changing lives, changing our life circumstances, the miracle, it's in the Word of God. And the church needs to do a better job of sharing it. And remain committed to teaching the Word. And we have a lot of work to do, church, in all of us. Later, Jesus found the man at the temple and said, see, you're well again. What are you doing? Why are you sitting here? You were just here yesterday. Why are you here? Why do you keep going back to the same place that hurt you all the time? Why are you going back to the same place that got you nowhere in the first place? And he says, see, stop sinning. So something worse might happen to you. The guy had no idea who Jesus was. Is and was, and I don't know if this guy's ever saved. That's not my call. Did he ever repent for his sins? I don't know. But Jesus said to him, stop sinning, or something worse might happen to you. What is that something worse? The worst thing that can ever happen to a human being is eternity away from God. The Bible, the Word of God, has the power to change your life, if you let it. the Bible. The Word of God has the power to change your life if you let it. There are things in here that I don't like, but I'm willing to reflect my life to that. Because I don't really care what's going on in this life, but the life to come, whatever that worse is that Jesus said, it's worth the risk. Amen? Because I don't really care what's going on in this life, but whatever that worse is that Jesus is talking about, it's worth the risk. Let's pay. God, thank you so much for your words, for your grace. And sometimes it's hard for us to hear, and hard for us to agree, and hard for us to live by it. And that's because of our own rebellion, our own fault, our own wanting to be right, our own kingdom that we want to build. But your word continues to change lives. It changes hearts. It heals the broken. It makes the lame man walk. So here we are, God. Forgive us where we fall short. For some of us who've been Christian for a long time, help us to have the heart of compassion, to love the broken. And for some of us who is just dabbling and wondering what is going on with Christianity or what are they about, I pray and ask that you open their hearts to follow your word, not the pastor, not the church, not the sermon, not the inspirational quotes, but your word is a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. God, there are two groups of people that needs to be healed in this story, and that's all of us, the lowest to the highest. We all need your grace. So here we are. We thank you for your love and your grace. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. If you have communion, go ahead and take it out. Something we do here at our church, if you don't have one, just raise your hands. Our ushers will give you one. And every Sunday as I take this, I love what God has done in my life, and His Word has changed me. That He can take a kid like me who's on his way to make porn videos and put him in the pulpit to be a pastor. He knows my past, He knows my weaknesses, He knows my strength, He knows my mistakes, and He knows I will do them. Again, or ungodly things, or the things that I fail every single day. And so as we gather here today, as we take this, I want you to know how special this is. If you are struggling, just struggling, God, where do I make sense of this? This is where healings begin. This is where God says, pick up your mat and walk. Because He says, this is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's all take this together. In the same way, if you have become so self-righteous that you think everyone else is wrong, God says, don't forget, I also wash your sins away. When you were out and down and lost. And he says, this is my blood poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Next few moments, you need prayers at all. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today could be your day. We have a baptistry right behind me. We have change of clothes. And you say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to commit my life to Christ because the life to come, whatever that worst thing that can happen to me, it's not worth the risk of pleasing the world right now. I want to know God's word. I want to grow because it's worth the risk. So that's you this morning. I ask you to come forward and meet me here and be baptized. And your sins are washed away. You're forgiven. Forgiven by our God. But he says, pick up your mat and walk. Don't go back to the same place you were this morning. Don't go back to the same place you were yesterday. Pick up your mat and walk. Some of you just might need prayers. You've been hurt. You've been excluded from society. You've been finger pointing and you don't know what mistakes you made. And is it bad? Is it God still loves me because I made that mistake? He does. He loves you very much. That's why he died on the cross. Because he loves you very much. And he knows you messed up. He knows I messed up. That's why he's God. If you need just prayer and forgiveness, for someone to pray with you this morning, our elders would be up here. Let me have our elders come forward to meet with you and to pray with you. I'm here to pray with you as well. And I'm completely stepping out on faith on this right now, guys. If you need healings, you have something that you're like, man, my leg hurts, my arm hurts. I know this is, I'm completely stepping out on faith on this. Come up, we'll pray for you. Pray for my ankles as well. We'll pray for you today right here because I believe that God can do anything to anybody anytime he wants. And it tells us in that story. You need to get over your addiction. You need to heal something. Whatever that is, I'm here to pray for you. And I'm completely stepping out on faith on this. And if you don't get healed today, at least you respond. And you take in the walk. Amen. Let's stand.